You're tuned to The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. I'm Marco Werman, reeling from the news this afternoon about the apparent killing of American journalist Stephen Sotloff. The militant group ISIS again posted an execution video, just as it did with James Foley last month. Both journalists had been held hostage by ISIS in Syria. It's a tragic reminder of how an unfinished revolution like Syria's can provide an opening to militants. Another place where that could be the case is Libya. The crisis there deepened after a powerful militia opposed to the government took control of the capital's airport a week ago. Here's more on that from Marine Olivesi in Tripoli.
This is what it sounds like inside Tripoli's airport. No departure calls, no harried passengers, just the crackling noise of what's left of the building. Charred rubble, broken glass, and metal rails. After 5 weeks of clashes, the main terminal looks like an apocalyptic movie set. The fighting is between rival militias from the western cities of Misrata and Zintan, two armed groups that worked together to defeat Muammar Gaddafi's forces here 3 years ago. Abdul Basset, or Homa, lives a few streets away from the airport. His four daughters are digging up large-caliber bullet casings from their sandy backyard. No major damage to their home, but the battle has cost Abdul Basset his job. He's worked at the airport for 14 years. He says it's sad to see it in shambles, but he supports the Misrati fighters. Their goal was to free the airport from the Zintani brigades, which have been accused of smuggling weapons and drugs through the facility since they took over in 2011. Abdul Basset can't confirm any of that, but he says it certainly wasn't run as a proper civilian airport.
In a few occasions, we've had passengers coming on into the airport hoping to catch a flight somewhere, and for whatever reason, they would be dragged into interrogation rooms and threatened with weapons and so on by the militia controlling the airport, and just things like that really was the worst of it.
The Misrati fighters didn't just stop at the airport. They overran rival militias' bases and set up checkpoints across the city. It marked the first time since the revolution that Libya's capital fell under the control of a single armed group. The calm of one ruling force might be a relief for some, but residents like Salah Hakikli say there's no reason to celebrate.
You know, they keep saying, oh, we've liberated you. You know, they've said it before and they're saying it again. And what we don't understand is what exactly they're liberating us from. They're liberating us from Zintan. Well, Zintan weren't as bad as them. I mean, yes, Zintan, they'd steal your car. And yeah, sure, every now and again they kidnapped some people, but it was nowhere near as bad as what Misrata do.
Salah says he's bracing for worse now that they're back in full force and without any counterbalancing powers left in Tripoli. Politically, the takeover also disrupts the fragile democratic transition in the country. Misrata militias aren't just claiming to protect the capital. They're also trying to reinstate Libya's previous Congress, which was dominated by mainstream Islamic forces that lost parliament elections in June. Peter Dollarmore is an operations manager for Salamanca Group, a risk consultancy company. He says both sides are irrationally convinced of their claims to legitimacy.
What's developing in Libya is a fairly unique situation and perhaps without historical precedent, where we see two parallel governments, two parallel authorities growing up completely independent of each other and completely ignorant of each other, and they don't want to cooperate with each other. But there are no geographical boundaries, and people who support each of those authorities are mixed in geographically with the other.
Libya's House of Representatives, exiled in a town near the Egyptian border, has asked the international community to help them crack down on opposing militias. Salah, for one, says he's lost faith in a peaceful resolution between pro- and anti-Islamist and their respective armed forces. He fought during the revolution with both Misratis and Zintanis, but none of that matters anymore, he says. Power-hungry militias took away his voice.
I assure you that anybody who speaks out in any way, the second they're heard, you'll have one of the patrols from whatever militia you accused of doing something wrong, if not both, in front of your house coming to arrest you. There is no getting away from it.
you know, apart from literally getting away from the country.
Salah is making plans to leave Libya in the coming weeks with his daughter and pregnant wife. The streets of Tripoli might be quiet again, but it's far from peaceful. And he says he doesn't want to stick around until the next battle. For The World, I'm Marine Olivesi in Tripoli, Libya.